Well, good evening, everyone. Since we're unable to meet together as the church in these extraordinary days, the session and I thought it would be best if we had a time of devotion for Wednesday evenings. That is either a written devotion or a recorded audio devotion such as this to help you, to encourage you to pray, to bring you refreshment from God's word. So this is a short devotion in which we want to encourage your hearts. And so this evening, I want us to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, as we give our attention to understanding what Christian prayer can look like, or I would say should look like, as modeled by the Apostle Paul. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, this is God's holy and inspired word. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When I think about my own prayer life, I think this text here is perhaps one of the most helpful. It teaches us a very simple way to pray, a way to pray for each other, a way to pray for our own selves. The Apostle Paul here says that he has one overarching petition that he prays for the Colossian church, and he instructs us in how we should pray that. Well, what is that one petition? It is in verse 9, that you, or that Christians, would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is the most basic thing he prays for. That is to have our minds and our hearts absolutely full of God's word, of the revelation that God has made to us, His people, that we might understand it. And then, having understood that, go forth and live in such a way. What way? He tells us in verses 10 and following, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, God's word, God's instruction, God's commands, God's statutes, God's revelation, so that we might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. That's one of the most basic aspects of the Christian life, is it not? To want to please God. Even if you're a small child and you understand the gospel in a small, childlike way, you still know that God is worthy of all of our praise, and we ought to please Him with how we live in our lives. That is, Christ calls us to a new way of living, a different way from the rest of the world. And that is should be the goal of our prayer. Our prayer is that we would be filled with the knowledge of what God desires of us, of how we ought to please Him and walk worthy of the Lord. Well, what does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? He tells us, halfway through verse 10, to walk worthy of the Lord means four things. First, it means that we bear fruit in every good work. That is, that our godliness, our piety, our Christianity, our confession that we belong to Jesus should result in fruitfulness, good works that God has foreordained before the foundation of the world that we should walk in them. That is, we as Christians have not only lips that confess the name of Jesus and confess our faith and our trust in Him, but a life that backs up that confession. And as we bear the fruit of the Spirit, you know, if Paul prays for us to be filled with God's instruction, with all spiritual wisdom, that means it finds its source in the Spirit of God, then that will lead to the fruit of the Spirit being seen in our lives. That is, we will be loving people. We will be people who rejoice even in the midst of hard circumstances. We will be people of peace. We will be patient people. We will be so on and so forth, gentle, self-controlled people. Now, that doesn't mean that we'll do that perfectly. Absolutely not. Only Jesus had every fruit of the Spirit in full perfection. But it does mean that those fruits will mark our life. And if they don't, and the areas we know that we lack, that should be one of the main places that our prayers are focused on. That is, if you know yourself to be someone who lacks patience, then ask God to fill you with his will and with spiritual understanding that you might be a patient person. If you know that you lack self-control, ask the Lord to give you so much of his word that you might hide it in your heart and not sin against him by lacking self-control, and so on and so forth. So the way that we walk worthy of the gospel, worthy of the Lord, is first by bearing fruit in every good work. But then secondly, if you look at the end of verse 10, it's by increasing in the knowledge of God. So what does it mean to be a Christian? What should be one of the main things we pray for? Well, it means that we would increase, we would grow, we would more and more understand who God is through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That we would know the person and work of our God and rest in him. Or as the Apostle Peter says, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I think that Peter helps us in that just by focusing or pointing out that we grow in grace. That means part of increasing in the knowledge of God is connected to recognizing our continual sinfulness. Prayer has at its core confession. Confessing to God the areas where we have failed to obey his law as we ought, where we have not followed his instruction and his will, where we have sought human wisdom and our own understanding rather than his, and we've gone our own way, and we've sinned against him, and we've done things that his law told us not to do, or we failed to do the things that his law commanded of us. That is, we sin. And yet, as Christians, we can't continue in that. We are convicted, and so we confess it to God and thereby grow in the grace of God. That is, we know it more and more. It is fresh to us every day because we realize that every day we are sinful. And as the Heidelberg Catechism says, even the best people in this life make only a small progress towards holiness. You and I disobey God daily. We break his law in our thoughts and in our words and in our deeds. We fail to love him and our neighbor as we ought. So we bring those things to the Lord. We confess them to him. We confess how we fail to bear fruit in every good work. And we receive again the grace and mercy of God. We're built up in Jesus Christ. We know yet again how utterly dependent we are on him for grace and for mercy. We grow and increase in the knowledge of God. So let your prayers, even this evening, be fueled by confession. Confess your sins to God and find the peace of God. Well, walking worthy of the Lord is, or it means that we bear fruit in every good work, that we increase in the knowledge of God. And then verse 11, that we are strengthened by God's power according to his glorious might. Unto all endurance and patience with joy. You see, you and I should recognize, especially after confessing our sins, that we are a very poor and needy and weak people. If you read the Psalms, it says over and over again that we are poor and weak, we are needy, we are in need of God's help, we are in a pit apart from him, we need our Lord. It's why Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That is, to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding means that we know we have no strength in and of ourselves, and we must have it from the Lord himself. And so as we pray to him in this way, he will give us his strength. He will supply us that spiritual energy, you could say, that we need. And he does so because of his own glory and his own might and his own power that enables us then to persevere. And to have patience and to have joy, things which we could not have on our own apart from God's mercy and grace, which we seize hold of by prayer. And then finally, the fourth way that we walk worthy of the Lord is what you could say the chief way. It is the main way that we show that we are filled with God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's verse 12, is giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. All we do as Christians should be an act of thankfulness to God because of what he has done for us again, to reference the Heidelberg Catechism. So in our evening sermons, at least whenever we met together, and when we meet together again, we'll take this up again. We've been confessing the Heidelberg Catechism each week, going through a number of questions. And if you've attended those services, you know that the Catechism is structured in three different parts. The first part is our guilt. That is, it shows us how we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory and what that requires of us. And the second part of the Catechism is called grace. It deals with God's mercy to us in Jesus Christ, whereby our guilt is absolved and taken care of. And then the last part of the Catechism deals with the Christian life and how we ought to live, and it is called gratitude. And that's really such a wonderful pattern for the Christian life. It is guilt, grace, and gratitude. Thankfulness, because God has brought to us redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's not because we ourselves have earned it. He's the one who delivered us from the domain of darkness. He's the one in whom we have redemption. It's in the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. It's in Him. So we ought to be a thankful people, because the inheritance we've received is not for anything in ourselves. It's solely based on the goodness and mercy of God. And that is one of the chief reasons why we can pray, why we should pray, because God has been and will ever continue to be merciful to us in Jesus Christ. So if you trust in Jesus Christ, you will pray, or at least you will want to pray. And when you can't, you will find rest and comfort in the Spirit who prays for you with groans too deep for words. But above all, you will be a thankful person. So ask the Lord this evening, tomorrow as you pray, to fill you with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you can then walk worthy of the Lord in your life. That, in other words, you would bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit would be evident in your life, and where you lack such fruit, that it would grow. And that you would be someone who increases in the knowledge of God, that even by confessing your sins and where you fall far short of His glory, at that moment you would learn more about how gracious your God is to you. That you would be strengthened by God's power, because you recognize in and of yourself you have no spiritual strength, and you are spiritually bankrupt apart from Jesus Christ. And that you should also be the person who gives thanks, because God has done everything to bring us to Himself. He is the one who's delivered us. He's the one who's qualified us to have the inheritance of the saints in light. He is the one who has given to us His beloved Son and made us partakers of His kingdom and the redemption, forgiveness of sins that alone is found in Him. So this evening, pray to God in this way and set your petitions and your hope before Him, and He will answer your prayers. You know, that's what Jesus said. If we pray according to His will, He will answer it. Well, this, brothers and sisters, is His will. It's His holy word. You can't argue against it. All we can do is obey it. Let's do that as God's people this evening. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would help us as Your praying people to pray in such a way that You are pleased and that You are delighted to answer us. We pray that You would sustain us as a church in these trying days, that You would keep our faith steadfast, keep our hearts fixed on our Savior, and help us, Lord, to lift one another up before Your throne of grace, for we all recognize our spiritual weakness and our need of strength. Please give it to us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.